16. They flew in a loose formation over the rooftops and out of town. Maddie, Brewster, and the magicians flew standing perpendicular to the ground, hands resting on their canes, capes flapping in the wind behind them. Roy, Tyler, and Gary flew tilted far forward, Superman style. Hubert rode in a glowing bubble of energy coming from Gary's wizard staff. Hubert looked over at Sid and examined his tuxedo. Sid noticed Hubert's attention and nodded in a friendly but non-committal greeting. Hubert nodded back and asked,
"So, how long have you been a butler?"
They flew low over the treetops into a clearing full of dead trees, salted earth, an above-ground swimming pool, and a brick fire pit. A cliff rose on the far side of the clearing. Carved into the cliff was a giant skull, its open mouth forming a cave. The group landed just inside the entrance. Gary welcomed everyone to his home and led them through a large set of carved ornamental doors, then a circular chamber with a large stone altar in the middle, past a second, smaller door, and into a large, comfortable apartment. He had decorated his home with stylish, handcrafted wooden furniture that failed to go with the green shag carpeting and retro 60s conversation pit. Gary used a communication spell to call Jeff and invite him over. Jeff signaled his intention to accept the invitation by materializing in Gary's living room before they'd hung up the call. Maddie and Brewster told everyone what they saw and heard the night of the attack. They described what they did after the attack, what further events transpired, and how they reacted, leading all the way to the moment they appeared, along with Gilbert and Sid, in Philip's rec room. The adults listened respectfully until the story reached its conclusion. Then they discussed what they'd heard. In the end, the wizards quickly reached a consensus on 2 points. They agreed that Martin and Gwen would be proud of the great bravery and resourcefulness that the twins had shown in dealing with a very traumatic experience. They also agreed that now that the grown-up wizards were aware of the situation, the best course of action would be for them to take over all of the investigation and protect the twins by having them remain safe and sound in Gary's cave, playing video games or something.
"Yeah," Gary said. "You can have a lot of fun here. I have an N64. You can play GoldenEye."
Maddie said,
"I'm trying very hard not to swear at you idiots right now."
Gary said,
"Your mother would appreciate that, though she probably wouldn't like you calling us idiots."
"Why not?" Roy asked. "She's called us that herself many times."
Brewster said,
"I can see why."
Roy tilted his head and smiled at the twins.
"I know it's hard to understand, kids, but your parents would want us to keep you safe."
"You think we don't understand our parents caring for us? We understand that perfectly. We also understand that we care for our parents and want to help them as quickly as we can. That means having everybody who possibly can help, not leaving the two of us here alone playing outdated video games."
"We wouldn't leave you alone," Jeff said. "We'd have someone stay here with you to keep you safe."
Brewster said,
"So that's 3 people out of commission instead of out there helping."
Jeff said,
"The best thing we can do to help your parents is to keep their children safe."
"Even if it's against our will?" Maddie asked.
Roy laughed.
"Keeping her safe against her will. She really is her father's daughter, isn't she?"
Brewster said,
"Maddie and I know our parents better than any of you. We know what happened because we were there, and now we have powers just like you all do. We've gotten things this far. There's nobody better to help our parents, and you want to put us on the sidelines? We've already done so much. Gilbert, Sid, tell them."
Sid said,
"It is unquestionably true. The two of you have done tremendous work in assisting your parents, far more than I could have done at your age."
"Thank you.
And though it pains me to say it, I think these chaps do have a valid point. If you wish to continue assisting your parents, your best course of action would be to stop arguing with the adults and let us Get on with... Look, stop glaring at me like that. Back when only the four of us were on the case, it made sense to keep you involved. But now we have a lot more people, and there's no need to risk you two. We are just trying to do the right thing here.
Brewster said.
But you made us almost invincible.
Gilbert nodded.
Yeah, but almost invincible is another way to say not invincible.
Maddie asked, if this is the way you feel about it, why'd you even bother to teach us magic in the first place?
So you could protect yourselves if need be, Sid said. By that logic, do you expect us to object to a plan to protect you further?
The wizards decided, over Maddie and Brewster's constant objections, that they would split up. Roy and Gilbert would search for Philip at all of his known haunts, across all of the time frames he was known to frequent. Jeff would continue trying to use the file to locate Philip, and Sid would try to identify and remove the code, keeping anyone from teleporting into the kid's home at the moment that whatever happened, happened. Tyler would take the first shift babysitting the twins. Maddie and Brewster objected, both to the idea that they needed to be babysat, and to the use of the word mishap to describe what happened to their parents. But that did not prevent all of the wizards but Tyler from leaving. In fact, the protests might have accelerated the exodus.
Okay, kids,
Tyler said in a wrong-headed attempt to win them over.
The N64's all hooked up. If you need any help getting it running.
His voice trailed off as Brewster stared at him, unmoving. Maddie glanced down at the console sitting on the floor in front of the massive tube TV and said,
It has two buttons. I think we can figure it out.
Hubert said,
If either of you needs anything, food, drinks, anything at all, I'll be happy to get it for you.
Yes, Tyler said.
And I'll be happy to run any food or drinks he gets you through a spell that sterilizes it. Hubert's actually a pretty good cook, once you render his dishes biologically inert. Anyway, I know you two aren't happy about this, and I don't want to make it worse.
Tyler removed his hat, pulled out a small laptop, and sat down at the dining table.
I'll be back here getting some work done. If you need anything, just ask. Otherwise, I'll stay out of your hair.
Maddie turned on the TV, sat down cross-legged on the floor, and picked up one of the N64's controllers, puzzling for a moment over which of its three handles she should hold. Brewster asked Tyler,
What are you working on?
I'm writing a novel.
What's it about?
It's a really long, complex story. It'd take a while to explain.
Oh. Okay.
Have a seat. I think you'll find it interesting.
Brewster silently cursed himself for asking, then pulled up a chair. 2 hours later, Tyler said,
So, you can see how an allegory about the Vietnam War transposed to a fantasy milieu is an idea that's just full of dramatic possibilities.
Brewster pushed his chair back from the table and stood up.
Yeah, totally. I guess.
And I think that making my protagonist one of the gnomes, fighting alongside the elves, who are helping them defend their home in the southern part of the forest from the gnomes in the north, who are being backed by the dwarves, is a novel touch. That way I can make the point that the whole forest war wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the pixies who invaded years before, then fled, leaving a power vacuum.
Brewster backed away.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Especially the part with the giant dragonflies. Carrying elves away from the pinecone fort at the end. I'm gonna see what Maddie's up to.
You do that. I really should get to work. The sooner I get writing, the sooner I have a first draft for you to read.
Great.
Brewster replied and nearly ran across the room to where his sister sat on the floor in front of the TV playing GoldenEye. Brewster sat down.
This sucks.
Yeah, Maddie said. I noticed. I say we get out of here.
Brewster said,
I thought about it. Around the time he started explaining how the Elf King's High Priest represents Kissinger, whoever that is. I don't think it'd work, though. As soon as he sees us messing with our hats, he'll know something's up. He'd probably use magic to stop us before we can teleport out.
You know, I came pretty close to taking off about a half hour ago. I had teleportation back to the dirigible all programmed and everything, but I didn't want to desert you.
Thanks for that.
Also, it wouldn't have worked. Gilbert and Sid could follow us super easy if we did that.
Maddie said.
But what if we break our emergency pendants again?
Tyler stopped typing and called out,
Hey! What are you two whispering about?
I'm just explaining the game to him. See, Brewster, you chase these rectangular guys around a maze made of nothing but right angles while you try to shoot each other with big, blocky bullets.
Tyler nodded and went back to typing. Maddie lowered her voice.
I say we count to three and snap the pendants in half. We'll both disappear at the same time, and it should take us back home just after the moment we left 2 days ago. We'll be free and we'll have a head start.
Brewster said,
I don't know. It blows being stuck here, but they're just trying to help us.
By keeping us from doing anything? That's not helping us. That's hindering us. It's literally the opposite, and I'm using the word literally correctly.
They lapsed into a sullen silence, the only sound in the house coming from the video game and Tyler's keyboard. The moment of quiet lasted for nearly a full minute, broken by Roy materializing. Tyler and Brewster both said hello.
Time to change shifts, Tyler.
Roy walked over to the table and slumped down in one of the chairs, as if teleporting had put a terrible strain on his lower back.
One more,
Tyler muttered, quickly tapping out the end of the sentence he'd been working on. He saved his work, then looked up at Roy and smiled.
There. Done. So yeah, the kids have been great. No problems. Very well behaved.
Brewster was the only person in the room who saw Maddie grit her teeth. Roy asked,
Where's Hubert?
Tyler said,
Outside, having a dip in the pool.
Roy grimaced.
How much chlorine does Gary use to keep that water clean?
Tyler stood up, closing his laptop.
Not enough. So, where should I go search for Philip?
I'd check with the other guys. I just got done scouring Atlantis.
Tyler winced.
Oof. He'd have to be pretty desperate to try to hide out where his ex lives.
His exes, technically.
Tyler laughed.
Yeah, true. That doesn't make it better. Did you touch base with her? Either of them?
No. I figured they'd either refuse to help find him or set out to destroy him. Neither of those sounded helpful.
Maddie paused the game and turned around to listen to Tyler and Roy's conversation, suddenly interested. Tyler and Roy smiled at Brewster and Maddie. Tyler said,
Well, kids, I've got to go. Roy will be hanging out with you for a while. I'll see you later, okay?
Maddie and Brewster both said goodbye, and Tyler disappeared. Roy said,
So, it sounds like you two and Tyler got along well.
Brewster said, Yeah, he's nice. Roy squinted at Brewster.
That sentence sounded like it had a silent but clinging to its end.
No, Tyler's cool.
Roy kept squinting. Brewster tried to keep a straight face, then squirmed for a moment before finally laughing.
Okay. He really is cool, but he just kept talking about elves and dwarves and the Vietnam War.
Roy laughed.
Ha! Told you about his book, did he? Yeah. He'll talk your leg off if you let him. I can only hope his books are more entertaining than the speeches he gives about them.
You haven't read any of them? Maddie asked.
No. He writes fantasy, and I don't go in for all that elf and goblin crap.
But you're a wizard.
Yeah, well, I don't have to read about it. I live it.
Maddie and Brewster both smiled and gave themselves room to hope that the next 2 hours might be less boring than the previous two had been. Roy said,
Yeah. I don't need to hear about any gnomes or pixies. The Vietnam War, though, that's an interesting topic.
Maddie and Brewster's smiles faded.
Yeah. For instance,
Roy continued.
Kennedy got us into the war, and LBJ and Nixon both kept us in it. But did you know
that all three of them agreed that going into Nam was a terrible mistake, and that there was no way to win?
No, Brewster said. I didn't.
It's true. In fact, it could be argued that the only reason we ever got into that war was because of a miscommunication in the Kennedy White House between the president and an ambassador.
Oh, Brewster said.
Yeah. Then neither of the next two presidents pulled out because they didn't want to be the first commander-in-chief to lose a war.
Brewster glanced at Maddie, who was staring at him, her eyebrows raised. Roy said,
See, it all started when the French colonized Vietnam. This is clear back in the 1800s.
Brewster stuck his fingers down the neck of his shirt and made eye contact with Maddie. 3, 2. Roy asked,
Why are you counting?
Maddie dug her pendant out of the collar of her shirt. She and Brewster said, 1, in unison, then snapped their pendants and disappeared. Brewster and Maddie materialized, sitting on the floor of the living room of their own house back in Seattle. They scrambled to their feet and ran to the window just in time to see themselves driving away in their father's car. Brewster said,
Okay, we're back where we started. Now what? We can't stick around here. The federal agents could be back any second. That's why we just left in such a hurry.
Yeah, well, things are different now, aren't they?
Maddie twiddled her fingers in the specific pattern Gilbert and Sid had taught them. A black disc slid into existence, twirling between her fingers and expanded into a full top hat. She held the top hat upside down and shook it once. Her black and white walking stick flew up out of the hat into the air where she caught it. She placed the hat on the back of her right hand and made it roll down her arm and across her shoulders. A silk cape appeared on her back as the hat passed. She caught the hat with her right hand and placed it on her head, smiling at Brewster.
You forgot the gloves.
Maddie lifted her hat and grabbed the white gloves that were sitting folded on her head.
My point, Maddie said, pulling on her white gloves, is that last time the cops came, we were just normal kids. Now we have powers. We can defend ourselves.
You just want to throw the rabbit at someone.
Oh, like you don't. Like you aren't dying to throw the rabbit at someone.
Of course I want to throw the rabbit at someone, but I think it would be smarter to avoid having to.
Well, obviously, but if we have to, I'm not going to hesitate.
So what do we do?
Maddie said,
We go to Atlantis, and we find Philip's ex-girlfriend. One of them, anyway. From the sound of it, he has a few there, which, ick. We find one of them and ask her where to find him. The way Roy was talking, she'll understand how evil he is.
But how do we get to Atlantis? Brewster asked.
We'll teleport.
Brewster took a deep breath.
I'll rephrase my question. How do we go to Atlantis without knowing where or when it is?
Maddie shrugged.
Beats me. We'll figure it out.
That's not good enough.
It has been so far. When this whole thing started out, we were just ordinary teenagers, Brewster. Now we're superpowered time travelers, and we got that by going with the flow. I gotta believe that if we just keep our eyes open and our wits about us, something helpful will turn up.
Brewster started to reply, but stopped cold when Philip appeared, his eyes darting around the room. When they settled on the twins, he cringed, surprised and terrified. He yelled,
Oh, no!
Maddie and Brewster both shouted,
Yo!
Philip did the world's fastest double take at the sight of a young woman Maddie's age wearing a top hat and satin cape with her t-shirt and jeans, then got over it and lunged forward, grabbing both Maddie and Brewster by their upper arms. Brewster cried,
Let go!
Maddie turned and bent at the waist, trying to twist free from his grip. Philip said,
You should have stayed in the basement!
You'd like that, wouldn't you? Maddie asked.
Yes,
Philip said, struggling to maintain his grip on the squirming teenagers.
Very much,
Maddie shouted.
Let go of me!
Before Philip could respond, they all saw the hint of something. Two shapes, vaguely like men, appearing in the room with them. They only had a fraction of a second to see whatever it was before Philip, Maddie, and Brewster all teleported away.